First Thessalonians in your Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verses 5 through 7. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 5. And you'll read verse 6 with me. And then when I'm done with verse 7, I'll go to chapter 2 and you can just follow along. But right now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now look down at chapter 2 and verse 11, and I'm going to read down to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, and then watch this, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for preserving your pure words for us in the King James Bible. Please help us tonight. Bless your word to our hearts as we look into it. Lord, you've given us so much and we know so little. Strengthen us as your people. Help us as your children. And Father, we just ask you this for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul had been in Thessalonica for 2 weeks. He didn't have time to teach them a whole lot, but he's amazed and he said, your church needs to be a model for all of the churches in Macedonia because of how you, in a short period of time, have grown so big. And it's not, I don't know, big, but you've spiritually grown. I think this church was a small church, obviously. Ephesus was a fairly big church, and the church at Rome was a big church. But they had grown spiritually to the point where Paul said, I only was with you a short time, but your spiritual growth is a model for everybody. Why? Because when you hit chapter 2, what caused them to grow to where this church could be an example to all others? And that it's the answer, I believe, is in what we read in verse 13. Let me just read it again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. But here's the catch. But as it is in truth, the word of God. Anybody who criticizes the Bible, last week I tried to witness to a man, and when he said no, he was the one that said bye and walked away. His son looked at me and said, this is what he said. He thinks the Bible was written by men. He said, it's just man wrote that book. If you think man had anything to do with this book, you don't believe it. You have to receive it as the word of God. And then when you look at verse 13, it says, it effectually works in you as you believe it. If you don't believe it, it's just another book. Do you understand? So your faith in it determines your spiritual growth. That's why we could take you to places. That's why the devil works so hard to get you to do one thing, doubt the book. If it's got errors in it, if it's just the word of man, then guess what? You stop growing spiritually. Your faith is no longer in it. It's a nice book. It's historically, that's a piece of work right there. But you don't believe it. And then you can't grow as a Christian. You'll notice, whether it was the sermon this morning, or everything centers around what you do with the Bible in the Christian life. When you believe it, you do it. When you don't believe it, you don't do it. I know that's simple. I'm not being oversimplified here. I'm just saying everything centers around this book. That's why, what's the first words recorded out of Satan's mouth? What did God want us to know? The first words Satan said was, "Yea, hath God said." Did God really say that? You're not going to die. God's trying to rip you off, right? He knows the moment you eat this, you'll be as gods, and you'll know good from evil. God's cheating you. Satan always works at getting you to doubt the Bible. That's why I've gone this far. Anything that causes you to doubt the Bible is satanic. Any preacher that would dare correct the Bible, anytime you correct it, it causes God's people to go, "Well, okay, yeah, I guess he knows Greek, I don't, so..." And then I'd hate for our people to leave church doubting God's book. You came to church to hear God's book, and then you leave going, "Yeah, I guess, well, it's still a good book. It's the Bible, but you don't believe it. It's just another book of men." So what caused them to grow was they received the Word of God as it was the Word of God, and then God could work. Okay? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You have to believe the gospel to get saved because it's the power of God. But before you can believe the gospel, you got to believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, then why would you believe the gospel? Right? In other words, where'd you get the gospel? I got it from the Bible. Oh! So, belief in the Bible and accepting it as God's word is foundational and I think comes before salvation. That's why when so many people are skeptical of the Bible and in the name of education they use intimidation, and I'll get into this here, we live in a day and age where people will listen to people criticize it, but they'll never read it. The internet's full of that garbage. Have you ever read the Bible? Well, no. So-and-so said that it's God. Have you read it? Well, no. Then how do you know what they're saying? So they'll gladly listen to criticism, and that's the day and age we live in, and it's making it, I think, it's harder to witness to people. Praise God, people are still getting saved, but it's getting more difficult. Did you know? All right. Let me say it this way. The Bible is the Word of God, whether you believe it or not. And God never begs you to believe. God will tell you what His Word is, but if you want to die and go to hell, you can do that a thousand different ways. You can go to hell any way you want. But if you go to heaven, it will have to be the only way God has provided, through the gospel. So the Bible, okay, what I just told you is something I have used on the street when I witness. Well, I don't know if the Bible... I'll say the Bible is the Word of God. You don't have to believe it. But that doesn't change that it's the Word of God. I'll use that when I'm talking to people. It's the Bible. It's God's Word, whether you believe it or not. The only thing that cuts your throat is because you don't believe it, God doesn't work in your life. You won't allow God to work. Next. When God tells us in Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." John 12, verse 47, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You don't believe the Bible? I've used this. That's John chapter 12, 47. I say, you don't believe the Bible? You do know this is what will judge you before you're cast into the lake of fire. The words that I have spoken will judge you. This book, Jesus said, isn't it amazing? Jesus said, you don't want to believe it? You don't have. That's your choice. But if you don't, you will see it again. John chapter 12. Neat way of thinking. Ready? So the Bible is the Word of God, whether you believe it or not. You can't be saved until you believe the Bible is the Word of God. You can't grow as a Christian until you believe the Bible is the pure words of God. Now, in our day and age where the internet is the scourge, what we deal with while we're out soul winning is the poisoned minds of those that have tried to find God on the internet without the Bible. That's what we're dealing with. Now, there's an evil crowd that studies the Bible not to believe it, but to criticize it. They claim to know the Bible, and then they mock it and make fun of Bible believers. That crowd, when I see them on the internet, their soul is damned. And I'm not trying to convince that crowd that the Bible's right. They're done. They've given themselves to searching for errors in the Bible so they don't have to believe it in their words, in their eyes. Anybody who gives themselves to that, I think you can't play with the Bible or God plays with your mind. You cannot, I believe you cut yourself off from God's help when you say, I've given my life to prove the Bible is wrong. I believe that's a reprobate. I believe, and those people, they give me the heebie-jeebies. Now, there's another group, listen closely, on the internet that corrects the Bible and makes fun of the King James Bible believers. And with their intellect and their Calvinistic apologetics and their education, they intimidate Bible believers into a more general stance and less authoritative stance. They point to the originals that they've never seen. And in the name of scholarship, they say there's no perfect word of God in any version. And I just tell you, I don't listen to that crowd. I don't approach the Bible like they do. I don't want to believe about the Bible what they believe. You understand? Somebody said, well, Pastor, teach me how to debate people who don't believe the King James Bible and teach me. Why are you trying to talk to people like that? I don't. Well, you know, that word there, you know, it needs to be so tragically translated. What it needs to be, say, I just go, Is that what you believe about the Bible? Then we're done. Because you don't want my help. You're trying to show me that the Bible has errors and I don't read the Bible like you do. Nor do I want to know what you... If you want me to help you, I'll help you. But I don't think you're talking to get my help. You're trying to persuade me that I'm an idiot because I believe the King James Bible. You say, you give up on people? I can only help people who want help. And I've had people tell me, Pastor, with what you know about the King James Bible, you could teach us how to debate, and you could teach us... I don't want to debate them. But you could turn them. You can't change them. Their approach to the Bible is totally... I don't want to be around them. I didn't say they were lost. I think some of them are saved. I don't think if you criticize the King James Bible, you're automatically lost. I just don't want anything to do with that Christianity. Do you understand? That, well, if you knew what I knew, I don't want to know what you know. You don't want to be educated? Not like you. Your brain's poisoned. I when I leave church, I want to believe the Bible. Amen? I have God's holy word. People who believe only the originals were inspired are wrong. They'll say the Word of God is bound to the original Hebrew and Greek, and yet in 2 Timothy 2:9 it says the Word of God is not bound. So it's amazing to me the phraseology they use that God contradicts and God tells them it's wrong. I believe as a child of God, you have to approach the Bible by faith. That's when you get saved. When you become like a child. Then, just like you got saved, you approach the Bible like a child, by faith, and you let your Heavenly Father instruct you, and that's when you grow. You grow the same way you got saved. You believed the Bible, and you continue to walk in faith. Now, tonight, I want to give you why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Number one. The unity of the Bible, okay, when somebody gave us $1,000 and they said, because I said, boy, I sure would like to put, you know, there's about 40 people that come up here a week, and they do the trail, bike, and walk their dog and all that other stuff. Sure would be neat to have some signs out here. So we put some signs out here. And you'll notice the first one before the gospel is given is what? The Bible is the Word of God. I worked and worked and worked on that. Boy, we're going to put a sign out here. This is for everybody to read. What I'm giving you is part on that sign. Everything I'm giving you is not on that sign. But if somebody was just like, why should I believe the Bible? It's out there on the sign. If you've never read it, it'll help your soul winning. Amen? But what I'm getting ready to give you is one of the things that's on there. In 1,500 years, God used 40 men to pen 66 books in three different languages, in different countries, and under different circumstances. Now, wait a second. The men were from every aspect of society. Kings, like David. Scholars, like Ezra. Herdmen, like Amos. And fishermen. And most of them didn't know each other. So from the whole gamut of society, from the rich to the poor, God used 40 men. And yet, there's total unity of thought all through the Bible and not one contradiction. There's apparent contradictions until you do a deeper study. And then you find out there are no contradictions in the Bible. None.
Well, that's good.
And the only thing they point to are number differences. That's the only thing. I've been through all that. As a matter of fact, I had a book on the website. It says 70 apparent contradictions in your King James Bible and how to answer every one of them. It's free. It's on the website. So if you ever run into ding-dongs out there, you can get answers, amen, from somebody that believes the Bible. Watch this. God warns us not to add or take away anything from His Word. And yet for 2,000 years, it cannot be exhausted. And it's fresher and fresher every time you read it and reread it. No book has more commentaries written about it, and its truth has never been depleted. If man wrote this, it would have been depleted and exhausted thousands of years ago. But nobody can exhaust this book. There's no book like the Bible. It's unity. Put all of the literature of the world together, and all of it doesn't have the power that God's Word has. Only the Bible has the power to save men and purify and gladden their lives. Only the Bible has the power to lift men up to God. No other book has ever lifted communities and nations like the Word of God. This is the only book. There's no book like the Bible. How about this? Why do you choose to believe it? Because God's Word is the greatest book the world has ever known. Compare the Bible with the teachings of Zoroaster, Buddha, Confucius, Epictetus, Socrates, Aristotle, and Marcus Aurelius, and the Bible has more truth than all of the books of men produced throughout history put into one. Take all of the beautiful thoughts from all of the literature of ancient and modern times, put away the junk and trash, put it all into one book, and you still won't have anything compared to God's book, the Bible. Okay, you say, why do you believe the Bible? Because it's pure. It's pure truth. Every word. There's no book, like I said, we said Wednesday night, we don't study any other book like we study the Bible. Why is that word there? And why is that word there? You say, well, other writings of men had some truth. Okay, listen closely. Socrates taught how a philosopher should die. But in the same book where he tells a philosopher, this is Greek literature, in the same book where he tells a philosopher how to die, he also tells a prostitute how to conduct her business. So somebody said, well, you can get truth from worldly books. Yeah, but it's like getting a diamond out of the sewer. And what you got to filter through to get that junk. So there is a little bit of truth. But remember, if they found truth, it was in the Bible first. Okay? Next, how come you choose to believe God's Word? Okay, think with me just for a second. How about the character of those who don't believe the Bible? Have you ever looked at the group that doesn't believe the Bible? They're nasty people. And I mean like ooey, yuck, dark, nasty. Like, you know, it's, remember we read at the start of the service, it's a shame to speak of the things that are done of them in secret. But have you ever looked at the crowd that doesn't believe the Bible? People who say they believe the Bible are not better than those that do, but people who believe the Bible to be God's Word do live more unselfish, devoted lives and surrender themselves to do the will of God. People who don't accept the authority of the Bible, have you noticed? They're greedy, lustful, selfish. They're filled with spiritual pride. People who love God and walk with Him know the Bible is the Word of God. People who don't love God and don't acknowledge the Lord are the ones who say the Bible is only the words of men, just oral tradition. Here's another reason. Why do you choose to believe the Bible? As most people grow better, they're more likely to accept the Bible. Listen closely. As people grow worse, they reject the Bible. When the wicked forsake their sinful ways, they lose their unbelief in God. The closer one lives to God, the more confident they are that the Bible is the Word of God. The farther away they get from the Lord, the more confident they are that the Bible is not God's Word. So have you ever thought about, as people grow better, they're more likely to accept the Bible? God's Word is everything in a home that's pure and unselfish and happy. No one has ever walked into a bar, put their Bible on the bar, and ordered a drink. No one. How about this? No one's ever walked into a gambling casino with their Bible under their arm. No one's ever walked into a house of prostitution with their Bible. I'm not trying to be sick tonight. I'm trying to get you to think. Preacher, don't. Okay. Think about this. Only evil people hate the Bible. Dictators who want to control and kill people are the only people who ban and burn the book. Have you ever heard this? The anvil of God's Word. Last night I paused beneath a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with a twinkling eye, the anvil wears out the hammers, you know. And so I thought the anvil of God's Word for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet through the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, and the hammers are gone. I love that poem. Men don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. Since Cain in Genesis 4, God teaches us that man has hated God's Word ever since God gave it. Cain ran from it. His great-great-great-grandson Lamech mocked God's Word in a song. For 6,000 years, everyone who has fought God's Word with their mind, their philosophy, their ridicule, and their bloody persecution has failed. For centuries, every engine of destruction that human science, philosophy, humanism, brutality could bring on the Bible, the kingdoms that have come against it were large, and the remnant that believed it were few. God's Word still lives and abides forever. Think about it. If it was a book that man wrote, it would have been annihilated and forgotten thousands of years ago. You say, how come you choose to believe the Bible? Take your Bible and go to Isaiah 46. I told you we were going to start out of the Bible, and I just used... I know, it was Brother Miller and I. We were witnessing to somebody yesterday, and the guy said, I think he could get saved. He was listening, and he said, you know, I try to find God for myself. And I said, I'm glad. I appreciate your independence, but you won't find God outside that book. This book is how God reveals Himself to man. You won't find Him on the internet. You won't find Him in your emotions or your opinions or your feelings or your thoughts. You'll find Him in that book. And he goes, Brother Miller was with me. He goes, I appreciate you saying that. I said, do you want me to say some more? But he really listened. His name was Gary. And we were talking to him. And I said, if you need any help, I said, we'd love to be a help to you. But I use some of the things, not all the things that I'm giving you tonight. But why do you choose to believe the Bible? You're in Isaiah chapter 46. Look at verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Notice the comma. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God says, you know why there's nobody like me? Because of the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible. I'm the only one that declares the end from the beginning. I'm the only one that can do that. There's nobody like me. One of the proofs that God is real is all of the prophecies that He's given have come true. The prophecies of the heathen nations, they've all come true. And there's still more to follow. The prophecies of the Jews and the Jewish nation and Israel. You know, when you talk to a Muslim, and you talk to them, and they say, how come you got saved? They'll say, I got saved because of one word in the Bible. And I know what you're thinking, because I thought, I bet Jesus, right? You know what they say? I got saved because of one word, Israel. Said as a Muslim, we're taught we're going to kill them all, we're going to kill the Jews, and we can't. What we're told, yeah, we're going to one day over. He said, we've lost every war against Israel. And he said, so when I started looking in the Bible, all the prophecies that God has given, I got saved for one word. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we don't read the Bible like that, but the prophecies of Israel have all come true. Jesus, the explicit verbal prophecies of the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Daniel chapter 9, Micah chapter 5. It goes on. Written hundreds of years before the Messiah came, nobody could do that but God. Then look at all the types of the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. The tabernacle, the brazen altar, the table of showbread, the ark and the mercy seat, the high priest in his garments. So many beautiful and profound doctrines of the New Testament, clearly foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And the truths of the sacrifices and the feasts shine out from the Old Testament into the New, and you only see it as you get into God's Word and read it. The fulfilled prophecies of the Bible prove the only one who could write it was the only one who could declare the end from the beginning. God says, there is no God like me. And you'd be a fool to believe any other God. Why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Here's another reason. I believe the Word of... This is one that I find easy to remember on the street. Take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Verses 6 and 7 are very important verses. I wish you had them marked. But watch this. Psalm chapter 12, look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Stop. Do you know why I believe the Bible? Because God said I could. Well, you believe like it's not like, you know the old thing, if you take a list of long line, I heard this so many times I want to puke. You take a list of people, you tell the story in this ear, they whisper it, and by the time it gets down here, it's changed. You don't believe there's no change. God said it's pure. I believe it's pure because God told me it is. No, there's no words of man in this book. There's no opinions in this book. It's pure because God said it is. Keep on reading. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, watch this, thou shalt keep them. What? The words of the Lord. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God's promise to preserve it from the corruption of man. I remember the man that taught me soul winning, Gene Johnson, a Marine, came up there and goes, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe it's pure. I mean, it's a good book. And I remember Gene looked right at him and he said, the same God that created the world and spoke it into existence can preserve His Word. And I was standing there watching him witness to him, and I was like, wow, that's really good. It stuck with me. If you've been soul winning with me, you may have heard me say that. I don't say it like that, but I do say the same God that spoke the worlds into existence can preserve His Word from the errors of men. Amen. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Whose job is it to keep it pure? It's God's job. And then, of course, How about this? Okay, you're there in Psalm 12. Just listen. Psalm 119, verse 140. The word, thy word, is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Jesus told me, I can believe every word, even the italicized words. We've gone through that a little bit in the study on the King James Bible. Somebody always says, well, you know, when did this come up? This came up a couple of months ago. But somebody said, well, you know, those italicized words, those are added by the translators. You know, you're there in Psalm 12. Why don't I look at it with you here real quick. Psalm chapter 12. Okay, watch this. Here we go. Psalm 12. Looking at it. Here we go. Here's the first italicized word in your King James Bible in chapter 12. Ready? Look at verse 2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with. Is the word with italicized? That's because your King James Bible is called an honest translation. It shows you what words the translators added. Translators added them? Well, then is the word with just as much the word of God as the unitalicized words? The answer is yes. We've went through this. It's every word. Well, the translators added it. Keep on reading. With flattering lips and. Is the word and italicized? It's just as much the word of God as the unitalicized words. They use this to try to intimidate you. No, every word is pure. And God allowed the translators to put that in there so that I could have his perfect, pure word. I preach from the... Here we go. You ready? I believe this so much. I preach from the same Bible Jesus did. Well, his was in Greek. It doesn't matter. God's kept it pure. Amen? If it's the right Bible, I don't care what language it's in. God's the one that came up with languages, right? God doesn't struggle with translation. We do, but God doesn't. I preach from the same Bible Ezra did. I love this. You know why? Because it's God's word. I preach from the same Bible Moses did. I believe that with all my heart. Well, that was Hebrew. It doesn't matter. I have God's perfect word. Christian, you better believe something. I know you might not phrase it like I do, but you better believe that or you don't live it. You only live the word of God that you believe. And if you doubt it, it's just another book. I love this. The Bible is pure because God said it is. How about this? Go to Hosea. Can you go to the Minor Prophets? Hosea chapter 8, verse 9. How come you believe the Bible? Go to Hosea chapter 8, verse 9. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 9. Now, while you're there, I'm going to read you some verses and we're going to work our way to Hosea chapter 8. But listen, Hosea chapter 8, verse 9. You say, I don't mind telling you, Al Lacy was a champion for the King James Bible. He came to Hiles Anderson College when I was there, and he taught a whole week on the King James Bible. And I remember from the... Dr. Hiles had him preach that Wednesday night, and he was getting old, and he was starting to... His wife was like, oh, I get so scared when he preaches out, you know, because he's starting to forget things. But he kept on preaching. And he got in the pulpit on that Wednesday night, and he went right to Hosea chapter 8, verse 9. I'll tell you what he read in just a second. In Exodus 24, verse 12, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee the tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Exodus 31:18 says, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Then when you're in Hosea chapter 8, verse 9, watch this. If you read it right, I have written to him the great things of my law. God declared, I have written my law. That's my book. I wrote it. Well, no, God used men. Just like you use a computer to type something, you don't say the computer authored anything. that computer was a tool for you to type what you wanted on paper. And men were the tool. They authored nothing. They were the tool that God used to write His Word. Well, that's just the words of men. Show them to me. Where, what part of it's of men? Oh, I don't know. Right, you're a critic. You're trying to spend your life so you don't have to believe anybody but you. You're a self-made, humanistic, narcissistic deity of yourself. The only one you obey is you. Isn't that nice that the Bible's written of men? Now you don't have to believe nothing and you get to run the show. See you at the judgment seat. You'll rue the day. If I could, you know, because now you say, now I don't talk to him like that. But I have, sir, if you've been soul winning with me and we've talked to critics every once in a while, you have heard me say this. So if I could show you the Bible is true, would you believe it? Well, no. So it doesn't matter what's truth. You're determined not to believe whatever is truth. I hate to say it. I can't help you. You understand? I can't help somebody like that. You're a critic. You've given yourself to wrong. I'll pray for you. That's all I can do. If you ever need any help, let me know. There's people like that all over, thanks to the internet. Have you noticed? Because when they start criticizing, they get a ton of community. People from all over the world. Oh, you hate the Bible? Oh, me too. And then they get proud and arrogant. Yeah, I'm in a community that hates the Bible. Really? And then you noticed whatever you type in the computer, whatever you look for, you get ads for? You know what I mean? Because there's no privacy anymore, right? T-shirts. I'm looking for printed T-shirts. All of a sudden, this advertisement, would you like a T-shirt printing machine? No! I was just looking at printing T-shirts. And when they type in, I hate God, I hate the Bible, I hate, they get tons of advertisements for more God-hating material. And it just, it's like once that avalanche starts, it never stops. That's why we're dealing with such pride and such arrogance. And can I just say tonight, isn't it wonderful being with a group of people that believe the Bible is God's Word? And if you believe the Bible is God's Word, you need to thank the Lord. Because when we go soul winning, we're sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Carry yourself carefully. And it's getting tighter out there. Praise the Lord, we still got freedom. Amen. We can still pass out tracks. Still got, man, I'm for doing it. I'm for it. But it's different. The atmosphere is different. The atmosphere is different as things change as we get closer to Jesus coming. That's why to me church is so precious. Amen. I think I can say tonight, I love being with believers who believe the Bible. Amen. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't expect you to remember everything I've given you tonight. I wanted to give you a few of the things that come out when I go soul winning. But somebody said, Pastor, could you teach why we believe the Bible? I did 2 weeks ago, maybe three. Was it 3 weeks ago? It was 3 weeks ago. This is part two. I hope it's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful, precious, eternal, pure, holy Word. It is wonderful to have a copy of it. Please help us, Lord.